Mark chapter 10, verses 37 to 45, which is found on page 1015 in the Church Bible.
Can you start at 32, Pat, please?
Pardon?
Start at 32.
32. Jesus again predicts his death. They were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." The request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink, and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Now I would like to draw your attention to this passage which Ken read to us, and draw your attention in particular to the verse 45, which reads, incidentally my readings, if they're slightly strange, they are from the American Standard, So in 45 he says this, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, I don't know if you've noticed, if you read a lot of books of preachers or whoever, kind of scripture books you read, but I don't know how many times you've found it said, "This verse is one of the most precious in the Bible," or "This verse is surely the most revealing in its telling us about the work of the Lord Jesus," or something of that nature. And I must have read that many times, and there must be hundreds of verses which fit to that at one time or another. And of course it is true that at a particular time one verse may be the most precious, or another verse at another time. But here surely is a verse which is one of the most precious, one of the most revealing concerning the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it sets out in a very clear manner his mission. Now, a word of explanation in terms of the verses around 45. You'll notice that the word in 43, there's a word servant, and in 44 the word is slave, and in 45 the word is serve, or to be served. In other words, there are two words which are being used here. I'd just like to say a word about them. One does mean servant in the true sense, and another does mean slave in the true sense. But those are the word. That's the way in which they are quite often used in Scripture. But the trouble with the word slave is that we have a connotation in our minds that we remind ourselves of those people from various parts of the world who were transported across the oceans and were slaves in a cruel, despotic manner. They were held as slaves to work on the plantations and so on. That's the picture we've got, partly probably due to the emphasis, publicity in recent times on Wilberforce and the abolition of slavery. So we have that that idea in our mind that whenever we see the word slave, that's what it means. I don't think that we can actually say that in this passage, because it seems that the words really are synonymous in their meaning. It would not be correct, I think, to give that modern idea of slave into this passage. We should understand the meaning as servant or minister in its true sense, ministry. But indeed, the word, one of the words that is used, is the word which we use for deacon. The word minister is actually misused today. You can think of a minister in the government. Enough said. Or you may come across the use of the word minister in terms of meaning a clergyman. But whatever it be, the true sense is servant. And that's the way we should read it here. I want you to notice, first of all, then, in this verse, the person who is designated. He is designated Son of Man. Twice in this passage we come to that phrase, the Son of Man. For even the Son of Man did not come, etc. This phrase, the Son of Man, is used 78 times in the Gospels and 14 times in Mark. And there has been an enormous amount of literature written on this particular phrase and how it should be interpreted and so on. Basically, in origin, it means man in weakness and dependence. So, for example, we can find a verse such as that in Psalm 8. What is man that thou dost take thought of him, and the son of man that thou didst care for him? Initially, it means man in weakness. And that is, you'll perhaps recall from Brian's recent work on Ezekiel, that Ezekiel himself, in, say, the second chapter at the beginning, is called Son of Man, meaning man, ordinary man, particularly man in his weakness as a man. But the Lord Jesus Christ uses this phrase of himself, and it indicates more than man in general, but one in particular. It means, it has reference to a unique person. So, for example, in just take one passage that clearly speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first chapter of Revelation, and in the 13th verse we read as follows. I turned to see the voice that was speaking, and he was amidst seven golden lampstands, and there was one like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across the chest with a golden girdle. So the Son of Man clearly there refers to the Lord Jesus, and you will find that this is so in a number of passages. The reference then, of course, is to the Lord Jesus Christ, principally in his humiliation as a man upon this earth, a man without abode, a man who suffered, a man who was betrayed, and a man who was put to death. But also, the Son of Man, the phrase, can also refer to the Lord Jesus in his exaltation. Indeed, one of the commentators has calculated that there are, in the first three Gospels, The word or phrase the Son of Man is used 27 times, meaning humiliation, and 44 times, meaning the man in exaltation. And the Lord Jesus used this title so as gradually to reveal to the Jews his real person and mission. He himself was quite clear in his belief as to his mission as Messiah. So if you turned over to the 14th chapter of Mark, at the time of his death, you will find a very interesting point made in the 60th verse, when our Lord is confronted by the high priest. The high priest said, "Do you make no answer to what these men are testifying against you?" But he kept silent and made no answer.